Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5, presented by Zadok Jewelers, KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. It's John and Lance.
Do you have any, is there any intelligence out there at all?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday, everybody. The morning after the first round of the NFL draft, nobody happier to be here than our good friend Lance Zierlein, who was up late, getting ready for today's second round in which your Houston Texans will draft 40. Well, right now, they're on the clock at 42nd and 59th, and we'll find out whether or not they don't move around. Trader Nick ain't scared. We'll see if he doesn't do anything here today before they pick 42nd overall. Lance, the big story yesterday had to be the Falcons and Michael Penix. Surprising to just about everybody when you signed Kirk Cousins this offseason. What was your initial reaction when you saw that pick? Hold on a second. You can hear him, but we can't hear him, Doe. You got him now? Okay. What was your reaction?
I said I thought it was one of the dumbest things I'd ever seen in my life.
How much sleep did you get last night?
It's about like three.
3 hours? All right. So the reasoning, Terry Fontenot, right, and Raheem Morris, and they were trying to explain it. I saw a video of Fontenot trying to explain it to Arthur Blank, and I don't know that he was doing a good job of explaining it. But it just doesn't really make much sense in this. Now, if you love Michael Penix, okay, I get that. But you got Kirk Cousins locked in for basically 3 years. I mean, it'll be, you can get rid of him after two, but it'll be pretty penal. And you lose all that. You're going to lose all kinds of. You'll have all kinds of dead cap money. But if you think that Kirk Cousins is, you know, you want to have a rookie quarterback deal, why waste 3 years of your rookie quarterback deal when that's when Bijan's going to come due and, you know, some other guys that you're going to have to pay to keep to be good? But you're going to be 3 years into Michael Penix's deal. At fourth year is going to be, you're going to have to claim his fifth year option already right before you start to get into the money, right? I mean, so it just didn't make much sense at all.
So it's really, in essence, a 2-year deal for Kirk Cousins.
It's going to be really penal to get rid of him after two, though.
No, I don't think so. Is it? Mm-hmm. You sure? Did it end up getting fully guaranteed for all three?
No, $77 million was guaranteed, but even still, it's going to be a big. It's going to be a big hit.
Well, you're saying it's a big hit. Remember, they don't pay the salary, so it probably just cancels out. The thought is it's a Jordan Love deal, but Jordan Love was supposed to be, you know, he was supposed to play pretty fast, and then it ended up being a 2-year sit, 3-year sit, I think, for Jordan Love, 2-year sit for Jordan Love, and you could look at it as an Aaron Rodgers deal. But why? What are we doing? This is what I said on the. I'll probably get in trouble for it, but I said, what are we doing? What are you doing if you're the Falcons? I don't understand this at all. Okay, you like Michael Penix. Great. You like Michael Penix, but, like, this is a luxury pick. To do this, you have to – Michael Penix turns 24 in September. So he is going to be at least 26. At least 26 when he starts playing quarterback at that position. I mean, unless Kirk Cousins' Achilles is worse than we thought, you know, and in that case, we're going to find out that, you know, if that ends up being the case, then you're going to have a lot of heat on how in the world did you sign Kirk Cousins to this deal because he had a bad Achilles. Now, my guess is the Achilles is not an issue. I don't know what this is. I honestly don't. You had so many needs. I mean, you need a cornerback, you need a better wide receiver. You could use a lot of different things. You could have traded back and added more picks. Michael Penix there, I don't understand it. So I really don't know.
His cap hit in year three is 57.5.
Yeah.
After year three, it's only a 12.5 a dead cap. But it's 3 years. You're going to have him for 3 years. And Michael Penix will be sitting there, assuming Kirk Cousins stays healthy. And then what about the fan base? And, hey, when Kirk struggles, I mean, all of this, it just doesn't make sense. I understand that it's a pick for the future. And these guys, this is a new regime, so I guess they all feel really comfortable. But, yeah, they could win. They're probably the best team in this division already right now. They could have done some more things. I mean, there's a lot of things they could have done. That was the first one that was a real head-scratcher. Anything else that really stands out for you last night?
Man, well, you know, we can't dwell on anything because we're on to the next pick, and I'm on TV or whatever, streaming, whatever the case may be. But I'm trying to think if anything else really stood out as a head scratcher. I thought it was very interesting that basically the Giants sat still and said, We're not gonna play your games. We're gonna set it out. Because I had heard they liked Drake May and they didn't like JJ McCarthy. The Vikings would have drafted Penix. Hold on, shit.
What happened? What happened, Lance?
Well, something happened and he cursed, so I had to dump him.
Oh, I didn't hear the curse.
Well, it happened.
It happened?
Yeah.
Oh. Wait a minute, now he's not on the air again.
Show. He's saying someone's banging on his door because someone can hear him doing the show.
You've been doing it for 3 days, 4 days already.
Someone's pissed off, apparently. I'm hearing him through the door. Are you ready to come back?
Yeah.
All right, let him back in. Somebody is pissed off. Somebody's banging on your door?
Okay, I'm got to get dressed and go downstairs. Yeah, somebody's banging on the door loud. So they're ticked off. I mean, it is 4 o'clock here. No, it's 5 o'clock here. I mean, wake up, okay?
Everybody's up at five.
You can't talk in your room without someone getting upset.
What are you? I don't understand. What are you in a Tweety Motel? Where are you?
I'm in some walls.
Don't you have any walls there?
Are you that loud? I'm not that talking that loud.
You're talking regular.
I mean, you can't hear me through these walls. This is bullcrap.
I don't know. Apparently, dude.
I guess you're not allowed to. Hold on. I'm going to see what the hell somebody's got a problem with me. Why is it every time I'm in a hotel, something crazy happens?
Well, listen, the last time
I was in Dallas, the guy
pulled a gun on one of the guys we were with because he thought he reported him. Maybe this guy thinks you reported him
Is this a problem with Michael Penix or something? Is this guy mad about what I said about Penix?
He might have. I
swear to God, remember last time it was somebody was going through the door, hey, can I come in here and talk to you doing that mock?
Yeah.
I mean, every time I'm in a freaking hotel, I get somebody who acts a stupid ass. I mean, what the hell's going on here? This is a freaking Marriott at 5 in the morning here. I mean, it's not crazy that somebody's talking in their room on a radio show.
I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Let me see what the hell's going on. Are they still pounding on your door? I don't want to get shot.
Okay, if we hear gunshots, we'll call the cops.
Ever since you told me. I mean, they were banging on the door, too.
Who was? They were banging hard?
Yeah, I mean, what the hell's going on here?
What?
Seriously, I mean, I wasn't even talking that. Like, how can you hear through the walls?
I don't know. I don't know, right, dude.
I'm putting my clothes on because me and this guy are going to have some.
Uh-oh.
You
bring your gun? Are you packing? You better be.
No, and I also had wings too late, and I had really bad heartburn right now.
Got heartburn and a guy pounding on your door. Those two things. Your heart is pounding, and your door is pounding.
No sleep.
Holy crap.
Let me put my clothes on, and I'm going to walk out there real slow, and I'm going to see if anyone comes out of the door. I hope they do. Wow. I really hope. You know what? As a matter of fact, I'm going to leave y'all on the phone. Just all keep right, talking.
But no, we want to hear.
That's fine. Hear. Leaving them. Just keep me on. Y'all talk for a second. I got to get my clothes on and go down there.
All right. We're gonna, Lance.
Y'all just keep talking.
All right. I'm hoping you had clothes on. I was hoping you had clothes on anyway. To tell
there's
you the
no
truth.
Chance. In the morning, he's probably in bed. He was in bed, at least.
You think he was eating? You think there's chicken wings, sauce all over the bed?
I don't know. Maybe he laid a towel down.
He didn't lay a towel down.
In his own.
The only reason he lays a towel down is because Nicole makes him lay a towel down.
Yeah, maybe it's now
bed.
A habit.
I'm sure he's got chicken wing sauce all over the bed.
You want to sleep in the sauce?
He don't care.
I hope he does.
Know that that's not something he loves.
He's rolling around in sweet Chipotle BBQ barbecue. He's not a buffalo wing sauce guy. It's more like sweet Chipotle.
Oh, he's got heartburn. I think he had buffalo. Oh,
maybe
wings.
Threw some hot, maybe some Louisiana hot sauce on it. This is an odd thing that's going on right now.
It really. If we hear gunshots now,
I've never seen.
Are you going to feel bad?
Why? I'm not the one who told him to have a confrontation.
Well, you know what? All we know is that he's in some Marriott in Los Angeles. Maybe. We don't even know which one.
Maybe this is what Gilbert predicted.
How are we going to call? Well, is this 19? What's?
I don't know.
27.
What year.
No, that's he's 2027.
Well, Gilbert can't take into account foolish maneuvers. I guess so. If Lance goes out there and challenges some person, then
right.
Gilbert can take that into account.
Let's see. I think he's coming back. But this is. I hope we don't hear gunshots.
I mean, I don't even know why you're bringing it up.
At this point, I just want a confrontation right now.
See? He's in the mood.
Well, he's got heartburn. Anytime you got heartburn, you're going to want a confrontation. Okay? And I got this, too, going on. Okay? So this is not the day to mess with me, Mr. Hotel Pounding Door Guy. All right? All right. Well, why don't you gather yourself, and we will take a quick break.
No, don't take a break. I want you on the radio. A, you can hear the confrontation if he does, or B.
Well, we got a break.
If somebody pulls a gun on me, you need to know.
Well, that's all right. We'll hear it. Del can
because somebody pulled a gun
queue.
On your
I'll
friend,
keep it
remember?
In queue.
Del will keep you in queue.
But it won't be recorded for the
for
everyone
all
else
right,
to
for
hear.
The cops? Well,
yeah.
But we can testify.
Yeah. Well,
what Marriott are you in, Lance, so that we know, so that we can call the cops?
I feel like I shouldn't tell you.
Why don't you tell Craig to surf? Why don't you tell Craig to surf what's going on?
Okay, Craig, here's the deal. Somebody's really pissed off that I don't like Michael Penix going to the Falcons.
I don't know if he's in the mood to talk to Craig to surf. John took off his headphones and Lance is still rolling through.
That's fine. Here's the deal. Craig to surf has trucks. This is what you need to know. If you're looking for a finance rate, he's got it. If you're looking for a lease, he's got it. Craig DeSurf is the one guy he's the only guy in the country who has deals like he has. He's the only guy in the country that's going to treat you right. Everyone else is going to try to take advantage of you, but not Craig DeSurf. Craig DeSurf is your friend. He is going to make sure that you get a great deal. He's going to make sure you get great trading value. And guess what? He's not trying to go over there and just take advantage of you every single second that you're on the lot like these other dealerships do. He actually wants you to get a great deal. He wants you to get a second and third car there. He wants you to tell other people about it. So here's the deal. Whether you need GMC, Buick, or Chevy, he's got you. Go to LanceyCars.com. Find your car right now. Find your truck because Craig DeSurf is the only person who cares about you at this juncture. Go to LanceyCars.com. If you don't, then you don't like cars. You don't like trucks. It's that simple. LanceyCars.com.
ESPN 97.5.
To Houston's longest running sports radio morning show from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's John and Lance.
All right, so much to talk about and hopefully Lance can. You might have to whisper or go into the middle of the room so that you're not right next to the wall there and somebody doesn't kill you, whatever the case may be. But we got to talk about this draft and we got to talk about six quarterbacks
here.
The top 12. Six in the top 12, Lance. There was a question whether or not all six would be drafted in the first round. Of the first 12, six were quarterbacks. Michael Penix was obviously the most confounding, but that was that. No one saw that coming. But you want to talk about, I guess, oh, and then the other thing that was really confounding. Did you guys see, did you guys watch Nick Saban at all last night? Did you see him, Del?
No, I was a little busy, John.
Yeah, I know you were. I know you didn't see him at all. Del, did you see, did you see Saban? Did you watch that broadcast?
No, I was watching the NBA for the most part.
Oh, you were. You didn't watch the draft.
Wait. How are you not watching the draft?
Well,
I can keep track of the draft and watch actual sports.
No, you need to watch the draft.
Yeah. You need to see what the best suit is.
It's a bigger event than the playoffs.
I'm not watch. I can keep track of who's getting picked through multiple apps. Why do I have to watch?
You can keep track of a score through apps. You need to watch the draft.
I will watch an actual event as opposed to a selection show.
This is an event. Did anyone have any sweet? Well, people probably did have.
Yeah,
sweet
there were some guys walking in and with street clothes. Sure, yeah. But Nick Saban's hair was as confounding as anything on the night. I don't know which confused me more, Michael Penix Jr. or Nick Saban's hair.
It was a light brown. Is that what
it
you're talking
and
about?
It was full. It was beautiful. It was thick. Oh, he might have seen. I don't know. I don't think he saw
magic.
Doc Linville.
Go watch me. They've got this magic spray that they take. They take these little. They take this stuff that they just. You're just sitting there in your chair, and so all of a sudden, there's just some guy going.
And you got hair.
Yeah, you got hair.
Oh,
Nick got magic hair. That's all it was.
Oh, that's all.
He just got that magic spray. Yeah,
and it was a color that was unnatural to humans.
It was light brown. It was a little orangey. I might say. I did see him when I was doing my mock draft. Yeah.
Are
you one of the big stories ahead of Penix?
Are you the preeminent NFL draft expert or the NFL draft whisperer? Which are you now?
I don't know, but the more I'm thinking about this, the more I'm getting pissed off. There's no way I was loud enough that was going to – like, I did a show from there the last however many days. What is today, Friday?
Yeah.
So the last 4 days – I did four shows there. I mean, granted, this person may have just checked in.
Did you move already? Did you move?
Yeah, I'm downstairs
in
the freaking lobby now. Oh, yeah.
You're in the lobby doing this show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm doing the lobby. But I tell you what, that guy's got – until 6 o'clock, and then they need to wake up. If there's a problem with me, they need to wake up, and we'll do, and you'll be able to hear the entire confrontation.
Okay.
That's fine. I'll give you that long, but I was not talking loud enough, and I get to finish what I said about Penix. The Vikings were going to take Penix if they didn't, if JJ McCarthy was gone. If the Giants said, we'll take JJ McCarthy, the Vikings were taking Penix. Penix was going to go in the top 11 picks. Penix was going. And then apparently Denver called a couple teams about moving back, and they said, you know what, we're not taking the chance. We might miss out on our quarterback because people are afraid of the Raiders trading, and the Raiders were not going to take Bo Nix. I know that for a fact. So Denver kind of played themselves to a regard, but they didn't want to play games. So basically, this is the first time this has ever happened where there were this many quarterbacks going. It's the first time in the history of the NFL that – how many straight picks was it? 13 straight picks? No, 14 straight picks were offensive players. Never happened before.
Right.
Latu for the Colts was the first pick at 15. So, but getting back to the Michael Penix thing just for a second, because I didn't get to finish my thought. I'm really – you know, Kirk Cousins had no idea any of this stuff was coming. This feels like an epic screw-up by Terry Fontenot. As you said, if the numbers that you gave me are true, and I have to trust you because I'm just on this phone in my hand, if the numbers are true, what are you going to do? You're going to sit him for – even if you don't sit him – even if you only sit him for 2 years, you're paying Kirk Cousins a gang of money in year three. What are we doing here if you're the Falcons? That was stupid. I'm glad I'm not a poverty quarterback team.
Well, they were the poverty quarterback team. They had Kirk Cousins.
I know. That's what.
But you know what? The rich just got richer, just like the Astros' back end of their bullpen. Look at you add Josh Hader, and look what happens. See?
All these closes that he gets a chance.
Yeah. I mean, now you're so rich in closers.
You guaranteed us we were winning yesterday. You gave us a guarantee.
We were. JV was on the mound, and we were up 1-0.
What have you given us?
Listen, you a 1-0, that's all they were going to score. So you had to, as soon as Montero gave up that run, I was like, oh, this is over, because you can't score more than one run in a baseball game against the Chicago Cubs.
That's not against impossible. Cubs.
Not in Wrigley Field. Nobody ever scores there.
Nope.
So okay, what was your favorite pick of the night?
Let's see, my favorite pick of the night. I mean, I like Graham Barton.
You did. You said that before. Yeah.
It seems boring, but they have no center. They have no guard. That guy can play center and guard. I really like that. I thought Dallas, I'm not going to put a hat on, but I thought Dallas did a good job of trading back and still getting Tyler Guyton and picking up a pick. I thought that was very smart of them. I just liked that Minnesota, you know, honestly, Minnesota didn't panic and trade 23. They refused to trade 23. They couldn't trade up because New England decided to stick and pick. And I started to get word that Minnesota was telling people, we can't find anybody to trade up, so we're staying where we are. And once they did that and they were patient and they didn't panic, they still got a quarterback that they really liked. And then they didn't move off of 23, so they were able – because they had told teams, we're not giving you 23. Well, then you ain't getting no coke. I mean, we're not doing this. You're not trading up if you don't give us 23. And then they used 23 to trade up and get Dallas Turner. And we saw – and look, I'm not saying these two guys are the same guys because they're not. But we saw the model of same draft – C.J. Stroud and pass rusher Will Anderson, and they decided to go with J.J. McCarthy, not C.J. Stroud. But you know, I thought they didn't panic, and they still got a good pass rusher, and a guy's got a chance to be a pretty good quarterback. So I like the job that Minnesota did with that. I thought that was pretty good. I liked that the Giants. So here was apparently some of the concern, like teams around the league thought, okay, if New England sticks and picks are the and supposedly they didn't like J.J. McCarthy. Daboll was not in on J.J. McCarthy. There was talk that Roma Dunze was going to be the sixth pick of the Giants because they've just had too many guys who they consider to be issues in the locker room. Kadarius Toney was one of them. I mean, obviously Odell Beckham Jr. years back, but I'm missing out. There's one other wide receiver that I'm forgetting who also was an issue for them and they had problems with. And Malik Nabers has some edge to him, but I thought the Giants, I thought that was really smart. Stay and pick the best guy, Malik Nabers at number six. You could have gotten a tackle. They chose not to. You could have reached on a quarterback. They didn't. They just got best. They got the best player, Malik Nabers. They didn't try to goof around with it. And Malik Nabers, you know, it's interesting watching guys, how they respond after they're picked. Malik Nabers is one of the cockiest, and I'm saying this in a good way. He has so much confidence. I mean, it was unbelievable how excited he was, I'm sure, to be in New York. But listen, he's got CeeDee Lamb. You got in that division now, you got A.J. Brown got a new deal yesterday. So you got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Terry McLaurin, CeeDee Lamb, and now you got Malik Nabers. Like, good luck to all the cornerbacks in that division. Because that is one talented wide receiver.
What did you think of your boy picking Latu instead of Byron Murphy?
Well, Murphy, so they just got a deal done with DeForest Buckner, and they did Grover Stewart. So Murphy, they wanted Latu the whole time. Chris called me after that, and I got the scuttlebutt on that one, and they were interested in doing some other things possibly early in the draft. They were digging around on some different things. But Latu's the guy. I mean, Latu's the most polished pass rusher in the draft. It's not really close. He had 23 and a half sacks in 2 years.
What about his health problem?
No one touches him. They were perfect. They were a clean bill of health on his medicals. You know, that's the only thing that held him back for me was – Latu, you know, I don't know how the neck is, but I don't have access to medical, so I had to give him a 6'5", which is boom or bust, because I don't know about the neck. But the boom part is he's the most talented pass rusher in the draft. In terms of pure pass rusher, his stuff is like TJ Watt. I mean, it's really, really good. And if the neck isn't a problem, then he's going to be a really good pass rusher.
Boy, he can not only go run around you, but he can run through you.
He can run through you too. Like, and his hands are so good that, and I talked to him
I said, man, what's your rush plan like? We're at the Senior Bowl. I said, because you've got so many moves. And how do you set guys up? He goes, I don't really have a rush plan. He said, what I do is I just feel where their weight is. If a guy's if his feet are moving too fast to the outside, if his weight's too far outside, I'll counter inside. He said, really, I'm just feeling how they move, and I'm responding off of that. And when he said that, I was like, oh, my God. This is like the description of what it means to have rush instincts. And rush instincts are kind of rare. Most guys are trying to put moves together, and they're working on stuff on the offseason. He's already got it, and he only played two seasons of college football. Apparently, I can have a dramatic reading. I have to have a dramatic reading. I got a series, over 30 texts that Sebastian was tearing my house up when they drafted Latu. He was so pissed when Brock Bowers wasn't the pick. And Sebastian, my son Sebastian, is a big Colts fan, and he's been super pissed at how the Texans have had their glow up. He was furious when Daniil Hunter signed with the Texans, and the Colts got nobody but their own free agents. I mean, he said Chris Ballard was a generational sell. You'll have to ask the kids what that means. This is a generational sell for Chris Ballard in the off season, which means screw a sell is a screw up.
Uh-huh. All right, we got a lot to do. We got to get to the Texans, what they're going to do tonight, what you think they're going to do. You put together your mock draft.
I'm excited.
So we're going to talk about that. We got a lot of stuff to do. Let's break it here. If you want to ask Lance a draft question, you're more than welcome. But we're going to get to
it. I'm up now, so we might as well do a show.
Let's do that, the Texans on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Listen, you got your property tax. I mean, you got your appraisal from the government on what your house is worth. You go, wait a minute. Just last year, you think my house went up $200,000 or you think it went up $100,000, whatever you think, government? Really? You think my house is worth this now? Because they're always going up and they're always exaggerating because they're trying to get as much as they possibly can tax-wise out of you, property tax-wise. Listen, do not pay what they say you have to pay. Fight it. Protest it. I've protested before. I've won. I've lost. Own well, they win. Okay. 86% of their customers save on their property tax. Listen, you're going to love that they save you money here because it only expands. Listen, when you don't fight your property tax, it's only going to get more next year and then more next year because you just accepted what the government said your house was worth. Don't do it. You can't do it. Hundreds of thousands of happy customers and five-star reviews at OwnWell. OwnWell will fight. They will protest your property taxes. No upfront cost. It's easy, too. All you do is sign up. And you get it's savings or free, guarantee. If you don't save, you don't pay. Save money on your property taxes with OwnWell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and start your protest today at OwnWell.com. That's OwnWell.com.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is the NFL draft takes too long. If I wanted to see 32 picks in 3 hours, I'd just watch Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence doesn't throw that many picks. It's not like he, maybe not that many. Okay. Who was the Bills quarterback that threw five in the first half?
Oh, it was Peterman.
Yeah, Nathan Peterman. That's who you watch. He's terrible. All right, so the Texans at 42 tonight. And, okay, go through what's going to be gone by the time the Texans – who's for sure going to be gone by the time the Texans draft at 42?
Oh, I think A.D. Mitchell will be gone. Ladd McConkey will be gone. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Ladd McConkey, A.D. Mitchell will be gone. You're going to have a big run on cornerbacks. Ennis Rakestraw will probably be gone. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Cooper DeJean, they're all going to be gone. So I think when you get to the Texans, you're going to be looking at a guy like Mike Sanastrill, who is a nickel cornerback out of Michigan. And that's one of the positions they need. Now, if there's not this big run on, you know, if there's not a big run on cornerbacks, there's going to be a decent cornerback potentially sitting at the Texans. But I think the positions you need to focus on in the first round are going to be cornerback. Well, that may be a third round pick. I have a funny feeling they may look towards guard, because that's another one. They could find players who are guard. I'm looking at who they brought in for their top 30, and they brought in a couple offensive linemen, but I think 100% you're going to see them look at a defensive tackle in this round with two picks.
Okay.
And I think that, and I think Jerzon? Corner has a real good chance too. Jerzon Newton is going to be gone. I should have mentioned him. Johnny Newton, Jerzon's going to be gone. But this is if the Texans don't trade up. Like, I mean, Nick's to go from 42 to 37 is not the most expensive trade.
For who? So
maybe Jerzon Newton, because he can rush. So maybe Jerzon Newton. They're not going after a big, you know, they're not going after a big run plugger. Like, that's not happening. I've come to that conclusion. I did have someone tell me that they thought, you know, a team told me they thought the Texans were looking at Michael Hall Jr., who is a pass rusher out of maybe the most impressive interior rusher besides Byron Murphy in the whole draft, but he's only about 287 pounds, 290 pounds. So he's undersized, but he is a pocket attacker. And if they're really interested on him, and there's some teams who are a little concerned about the guy. He's apparently – he wasn't beloved at Ohio State, and there's some people who think he's kind of a little bit of a turd. But if the Texans draft him, they might be able to do it in the third round. They'll probably have to get him in a second. But this guy is a devastating pass rusher. So they are like all in for assaulting the pocket if they draft him.
Why do I keep seeing Edrin Cooper in this spot?
Yeah, so they brought Edrin Cooper in also in their top 30 visits.
I don't know that makes –
I don't know either, because they play base and they play nickel so much that who goes off the field? Like, yeah. Unless Azeez Al-Ashir goes off the field, then that might, you know, that might explain some of it. But we all love Christian Harris right now, and it feels like he plays the role of what Christian Harris might, or Azeez Al-Ashir, like in a classic 4-3. Yeah, all three linebackers could be on the field, and that's fine and good. But we know how often they're going to get put into three wide receiver sets.
And the Texans play in a nickel most of the time.
I would have loved Edrin Cooper for this team. Can you take a linebacker when you have Christian Harris sitting there? I mean, he may only be a four-year player. He's only 2 years in, right? He's not 3 years in. He's 2 years in. So he still has two more years to go. That one would puzzle me a little bit, just because I'm not sure who comes off the field, which guy comes off the field. But I would tell you this: I think you're going to get a defensive tackle. I think you're going to get a corner in some time. You might even get a safety. I gave them in the third round. I gave them Kalen Bullock out of USC in the third round, who is a safety who can also potentially play cornerback.
What if you wait for 59 and take Fisk there?
No, I take it back, John. I've got Fisk going. No. I got Fisk going with the first pick at 42. I got Fisk at 42.
Oh, you got Fisk at 42. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I switched it because my mock draft got all screwed up and I was trying to fix it. Fisk is a guy I would look at 42 for sure.
For sure, 42. Wow.
Yeah, 42 if he's still there. But he has a little bit of a knee issue that could cause him to fall just a little bit. But Fisk is a player that I would definitely keep an eye on, because he fits the mode of what D'Amico likes, which is, you know, that upfield, just ravenous attitude and get after it mentality. So
if A.D. Mitchell is there, Enos Rakestraw is there, if Sainistrill is there, if Fisk is there, Jerzon is there, who you taking?
Man, all those guys?
Yeah.
I mean, based on D'Amico, who I'll try to think like D'Amico, I think I take Fisk. And once again, when you see my mock draft come out today, I don't have Fisk, but that's only because I had to go back and change it to make, because I accidentally put Edrin Cooper in two different places. after I was already done with the mock. You want to talk about pissed off. And now, by the way, they can't do anything. I'm sitting here on my phone doing a show from a lobby because somebody's banging on my door in the morning. And they told me I've got another player in there twice, Cole Bishop. So I've got to figure this out during the break before they can publish it. I mean, third round, I got the same safety twice, and now I got to figure out how to fix it.
Well, just throw somebody else in there. I mean, come on. Just throw somebody in. No one's going to know. How screwed up was your mock, your last mock, because of, well, first of all, because of Michael Penix, but also you thought you had J.C. Latham, but they did take Alt there. And Latham went two picks later, so I mean, not a big. You had him up there, and you had Alt up there too, right?
Yeah,
yeah. But it just
yeah. I thought Alt would. I had it five in my last mock. I had five Latham, six Alt.
Right, and it went Alt first, and then Latham. What two later? Because Michael Penix screwed up the whole draft, didn't he?
Yeah, but so did, because somebody told me later that they put a lot of money on, because Latham, I guess, when I was talking about Latham, they thought that I might be right, so they took their shot with Latham as first offensive lineman drafted +800. And they told me this guy told me he put $700 down on it.
Yikes. Because of you? You lost $700?
Not because of me. He would have won $5,600.
Yeah, but he
did. I can hear something in the background with Dell.
Yeah, I hear something. Dell,
take Dell too. Whatever it is.
We're hearing you going through that sound. Yeah. So Lance is in the hallway. He's got to get his mock draft fixed because he put the same guy like six times. And so we'll take a quick break here. We got to hear from CJ Stroud. There's a couple of CJ was on with the Bleacher Report guys. He and Micah Parsons and Stefan Diggs made an appearance as well over Zoom. So we've got a lot of sound to hear about the draft. They were all watching the draft together and had some reactions to some of the draft picks. You'll be surprised to hear who CJ was most disappointed in that got picked last night. So we'll do that on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm talking about HRP. I'm talking about just a great company that's locally owned and operated. That, you know, you could, I guess there's all kinds of these admin companies all over the place that are in different states and different, you know, national companies, and they're huge and you're just going to be a number. Or you can have personalized. I mean, literally, we know everybody over at HRP because we're constantly talking to, we have a lot of interaction with them because it's a locally owned and operated company. And that's not just us. When we went to the party last week there, I mean, all of these different companies that they have, that our customers of theirs, were all there eating crawfish. It's like a gigantic big HRP family. And if you want to be part of that, you want to save money on your payroll, you want to save money on your HR, and you want to just have your business, the bottom line, just better because you've got HRP, then that's what you do. You go to HRP.net, 281-880-6525, locally owned and operated with that personalized service that you're not going to get elsewhere. It's HRP.
ESPN 97.5.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So CJ was on with the Bleacher Report guys. Have you seen this before, Del? Do you know what this is? That he and Micah Parsons were on a couch watching the draft with the guys, and they were, you know, selecting the picks, and each reacted. Micah Parsons was none too happy when the Eagles got Quinyon Mitchell. He was not happy at all about that. I think that was his guy. He liked him, and he thought, you know, and he's like, oh, damn it, the Eagles did good again, and I hate that. I hate that the Eagles got Mitchell. The CJ reacted to Xavier Worthy going to the Chiefs. He wasn't. You know, he's like, man, they just get better. Okay. They just got Xavier Worthy. All right. That ain't good. But he reacted biggest. CJ did. Reacted his reaction when San Francisco picked Ricky Pearsall. CJ fell back in his and on the couch, kind of rolled over, was none too pleased, had some things to say. And then this, he had this to say about Pearsall going to the 49ers.
I'm not saying like I'm some guru or some receiver, like GOAT, that just, but I know routes when I see them. I know football players.
Well, you've played with like five Pro Bowl wide receivers at this
exactly. point. So like when I watched him, like at first I was like, okay, he's good because I seen him at Arizona State. And then his first year at Florida was okay. But this last year, bro, he put it together. Hmm. And, bro, when I tell you, I don't know what, like it's like Tank. Like, you can't just put one, like, it's everything combined. Hmm. Like, I just text my boy, one of my best friends. He's always with me. And I tell him, like, dang, they got Pearsall. I wanted him bad, like, man. Dude. Especially, like, before we didn't know we were going to get Steph. Pearsall was my guy. Like, that's the one I wanted. So that's a big-time get right there, man.
Renner, what was your grade?
Dang, man.
What did you see? Did you like Ricky Pearsall that much?
Dude. So here's the thing. You have a hard time, coming off the narrative. I'm just completely honest. And you know, there's an old saying with some wide receivers, don't scout the complexion. Like, don't get too down on a receiver because he's a white guy. Like, don't scout the complexion. They used to say it years ago for quarterbacks, where you had to be open-minded, and you know, years and years ago. And I had someone tell me that last year about a player. Honestly, if you like Ladd McConkey, and I love Ladd McConkey. If you like Ladd McConkey, could I interest you in a guy who is a more explosive athlete, who's bigger than Ladd McConkey, and who also runs the same kind of routes and gets just as open and makes contested catches left and right? When I watched him last year, I gave him a third round grade. I thought he was coming out. He didn't come out. This year, he got even better. And Ricky Pearsall is really good. I just didn't think he would go in the first because we're not used to putting him in the first. But San Francisco doesn't care what your rankings are. They care about who fits their offense best and who they – no, no, not – yeah, yeah, San Francisco. They care about who fits their offense best. And that basically is telling you Brandon Ayuk is finished. Like, it may not be this year, but Brandon Ayuk will not be a San Francisco 49er. And what you have now is a guy who can be that route runner, who can run all the different routes. CJ Stroud is such a football nerd. I absolutely love it. I texted Quincy Avery, who, you know, did a lot of work with, and I think is still friends with CJ Stroud. And CJ Stroud's agent is David Mulgeta, and Quincy has worked with him. And I said, let me tell you, if your guy can stick with loving football and not, you know, and not go off track at all, I said, he's going to be the king of Houston because people absolutely love him. They love listening to him talk ball, his knowledge. And he just texted back. He said, he's an absolute football nerd. He loves everything about ball. And the thing that he had yesterday, did you hear the one where him and Micah Parsons were picking their teams? Like, okay, there's one play. It's going to be 4th and 3. You pick your team right now in the league. Anybody you want on offense, and I'm going to pick anybody on defense. Did you see that video, John?
No, I didn't see that one.
Oh, it's phenomenal also. And CJ Stroud listening to him, like, this might be the ultimate football nerd in all of pro football right now. And the fact that he's scouting Ricky Pearsall, like, I love CJ Stroud with all of my heart. There's not anybody. The only person I love more than him in Houston is Jose and my wife and my dog Splits and Jose Altuve, and that's it. Nobody else.
Not even Snacks or Motti?
Nope. Okay. No, he tore up my house. He broke his phone.
Oh, no.
No, he flipped out because he didn't get the pick because he decided Latu was a second-round pick. He doesn't even know any of these players, and he thought he was a second-round pick.
He doesn't know anything.
And he's really mad because
I'll tell
he's
you
really
this.
Mad because the Texans are doing so well.
I'm going to tell you this. CJ – is you think he's the smartest? He's a nerd. Well, he had a little something for you. He had a little something for you and Dell about Drake May.
I mean, it's hard to just pick one. I'm in a toss.
Who's the most NFL ready?
I feel like Drake May is. You watch his tape.
No, he doesn't know ball anymore.
Just his arm talent jumps off. I mean, he's one guy that, like, to me, like, the one mistake that I did early on in, like, his first couple of games was I moved around too much. Like, I didn't get the ball out on time. I started taking risks that weren't even downfield. They're necessarily scrambling. And when you watch his tape, he scrambles when he needs to. He throws guys open. He has like, right here, he has rollout ability. Like,
CJ better cut it out with North Carolina Kenny Pickett. He better relax.
CJ knows ball, yeah. And you two are
sure CJ doesn't know
he
ball.
He just
anymore.
Said those two are dumb.
Well, it's great. Do you want him to be the GM of the team? Would you like him to make selections going forward?
Yeah.
Since you're so happy with.
We ain't going to take Drake May. He wanted Tank. Guess what? He was right. Okay. And then they. You know.
So this is such a disappointing soundbite to figure out that CJ doesn't know ball.
Doesn't know ball. Ooh, the Drake May stuff. Most ready quarterback in the draft. Yeah, okay.
Ready.
Okay.
He was doing so well until he said, oh, man, he can throw guys open. That's not throwing open. He's inaccurate.
Yes.
No, like he's just throwing wasn't guys accurate. Open.
Oh, man, he was throwing them open. No, CJ, bro, that wasn't. Ooh, he was just inaccurate. That's all that was. He just left it behind him.
Stopping guys' feet on routes and stuff. Yeah, it's great stuff.
CJ knows ball.
No, honestly, I want to watch tape with CJ Stroud because CJ Stroud, like, what is he doing in the offseason besides throw? Is he having any fun at all? He's just sitting in there watching tape. If you're going to do that, come write up some of my reports.
Oh, you want him my to write gosh, up
he's
your watched guys.
As much tape. He's wow. watching more tape than people at the NFL Network.
Who was your favorite? What was the best pick of the night?
Well, I already said Graham Barton, but
oh yeah,
no.
The
okay,
best
can I
pick.
Give you one of my moments? Did you get a chance to see Quinyon Mitchell after he was drafted? Did you get a chance to see that?
No.
Maybe the angriest / saddest walkout that I have ever seen in my entire life. He went, I think, 23rd, or Quinyon went later than expected. And Quinyon Mitchell probably thought, I'm going to be the first corner off. And you were, but he probably thought, man, I'm going to go. And yeah, Jacksonville got him. And he probably thought, man, I'm going to go.
Quinyon
like
Mitchell went
12.
To the Eagles.
Oh, Eagles. That's right. At 22?
At 22.
At 22. Okay. He thought he could have gone maybe as early as 12. You know, a lot of mocks. I probably gave him false hope when he was reading my mocks, since I'm preeminent draft expert and I had him going 12
mm-hmm.
to Denver. So part of this is probably on me. If you get to watch Quinyon Mitchell's walkout, it is emotion. He was not emotionless. He is obviously extremely despondent. And it's not where he – it was not who picked him. It's where he was picked. He was picked later than he thought, and he was unbelievably sad. So that moment – like, that's either going to be his what do they call it, Dell and Marvel, the story arc of the – not the villain, the villain arc.
No,
or
it's
the
a villain origin story.
Origin story, yeah. That's his villain – that's going to be
that's
his villain
origin story?
Story.
Yeah. Yes. Not like Batman, whose parents got killed.
Well, Batman has the origin story, too. He just turned it into being a
right.
hero.
Quinyon Mitchell's is, I got picked 22nd.
Others yes. have a different
yes.
trigger point.
Okay.
And usually 100%. The villain one is – dumber than the hero one, so okay. maybe this is his villain origin story.
All right.
Yeah, his origin story is he got picked 22nd when he thought he was going earlier, and now he's going to make everyone pay.
I wonder if Brian Thomas is going to make everybody pay. We'll see. He's going to Jacksonville. Did you like it there? I'm reading 33rd team hated that pick there.
Why? Why did they hate it?
I don't know.
They wanted corner. I mean, what are you going to do? You drafted Trevor Lawrence. You're 3 years in, and we still don't see anything remotely
right. –
forget generational. We don't see anything that looks like a consistent potential Pro Bowler at all.
I don't think they're high on Brian Thomas. That's it.
Well, okay. So Brian Thomas – so the thing is with Brian Thomas, universally it's considered that he's not nearly as competitive as Malik Nabers, that he's kind of a quote-unquote different kind of guy. You get that out there sometime. That he's not a dog. He's not super competitive. He just, you know, there's a question if he loves football. So maybe they're working off of some of that stuff. I've heard that stuff. I don't want to, I like, I don't know. How would I know? I hear it. There's no way for me to know. I just know what's on tape is something Trevor Lawrence could use. And if you're going to get the most out of Trevor Lawrence, you better give him some weapons because Houston's got plenty of weapons. And if you want to beat Houston, you may have to score some points this year. So I kind of liked it. I mean, you know, I'm just going purely off the football player. I don't know all the other stuff. And I did hear from other teams they had certain, you know, issues with him. Not anything scurrilous, as Dr. Cogslaughter might say. Nothing crazy. It's just they question how much he loves ball and how much he, you know, how competitive he's going to be in the NFL, that he's not really a true number one dude. But I just know Trevor Lawrence has got to have somebody that he can rely on. And if not, what are you going to do? You're gonna have his contract coming up soon. You're going to be paying that guy a ton of money with no proof that he can beat my quarterback. Yep. No proof. I mean, he did beat him one game, so I guess there's a little bit of proof.
That's some proof.
That's some proof.
Since he did win one, yeah.
But you know who they're turning into, Trevor Lawrence is turning into, and the Jacksonville Jaguars? Astros.
Wow. They're turning into the – well, they were never really great like the Astros, but
– You know what people are bringing back on us now? Lastros.
Oh, no.
We're bringing back Lastros.
We're both
– We're on pace us for 44
the Rockies.
Wins.
We're heading into the Mexican Series at 7-19. Both teams. What a series. That should fill – Mexico. All of Mexico City is going to be there for this. All 40 million people that live there, they're going to want to see this, clamoring for those tickets between those 7-19 teams.
Who do they get to see? JP France?
Has been optioned down. JP France.
Fromber,
they get to see on Sunday.
Yeah, they get to see Fromber and JP, or just pull them.
Just
no longer up. He's down.
Oh my goodness!
So we'll get they'll
so
get
we
Ronaldo
instead
Blanco,
of Eric
right?
Getty going down, we sent JP down.
Well, they're like, hey, right. We've seen enough.
Wait, so we get Fromber's back. So now it's Fromber and Ronel Blanco. See, it's coming together.
Yeah, yep,
it's coming together.
I mean, Verlander gave up no runs and still couldn't win. That's how bad this team is. Time to talk about being okay. They were champions. They ain't no more. But you can still be a champion. A champion energy. Champion energy. .com, promo code 1560. ChampionEnergyServices.com, promo code 1560. You're looking for the best way to save money on your electricity. I've been saving for years. I love Champion Energy. I'm not moving. I'll never move off of them because it doesn't matter. You know, they're always going to tell me that it's happened multiple times. Hey, your contract is up. There's a better rate out there. Champion Energy does this. The other ones don't. They want to keep you on that same rate that's higher so that you keep on charge, get charged, get charged, get charged, get charged, lose money, lose money, lose money. No, sign up with Champion Energy, and they're going to tell you, hey, contract's up, better rate, let's go. And you do it. So that's the kind of Champion Energy they've been for me for all of these years, and they will be for you. ChampionEnergyServices.com/1560.
ESPN 97.5.